Today, you get to hear from one of our young lay preachers. She is a graduate of Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. She's one of our small group leaders. She's already, in her short time with us, has become a friend and servant to many. Heather and her husband, Dean, have committed themselves here at ECIC and the city of Lynn. She is one of the reasons that East Coast International Church gets to be so awesome. Why don't you welcome Heather as she comes up today?
Thanks. Here I am thinking I'm going to introduce myself, and you already took it all from me. I am so excited to be with you guys here today. Many of you I do have a relationship with and know and love deeply. And so there is nothing more special than me to be able to be up here with you all and be able to tell you about the most important thing in my life, which is Jesus and walking through a life with him and also building relationships with you guys. It's been a great journey. So like Pastor Kurt said, Dean and I moved here just a couple months ago now. And I was going to school in the area, but one of my favorite things has always been to take scenic drives. And so when we first moved to the area, we drove around the coastline, and we have the beautiful Lynn Beach, and we drove over to Nahant, and I remember there was this one road that was lined with gorgeous houses that overlooked the city. And so after we had moved here, one of my best friends came to visit me, and of course, I wanted to show off where we lived, so I took her for a drive. But I wasn't driving when Dean and I found it the first time. So I was still pretty confident that I could get us back there. And Nahant's not that big after all. So we hopped in the car, headed in that direction. And after we got there and unsuccessfully drove around for a little while, I finally turned down one street that I was pretty confident was the right one. And immediately when I turned down it, my best friend says to me, "Heather, I think we're going the wrong direction." But I love this friend to death, and she's not the greatest at directions. We both know that. She admits it herself. And plus, she had never been there before. So I was like, "Don't worry. I know where we're going," even though there was a little voice inside of me that told me I had no idea where I was going. So we finished driving down the road, which, by the way, was not the right one. And of course, there's a cop sitting right there. As I pass him by, he decides to flip on his lights and follow me. This was not a super exciting moment, so I pulled over, and by this point, I was completely confused. So he walks over to my car, super, super nice guy, by the way, and he asks me, "So you didn't see this sign?" And I said, "Sorry, I'm new around here. Did I miss something?" Of course, he notified me that I was driving the wrong way down a one-way street. Yes, it was great. And he let me off with a warning. Wasn't a big deal. But as I pull away, of course, my friend proceeds to tell me, "Heather, that's what I was trying to tell you the whole time." So this is much more than just a story to embarrass myself about how I don't always know where I'm going. And for those of you who are thinking it right now, it is also not a story to confirm stereotypes that women are bad drivers either. Thank you very much. I think that this story actually ends up being super applicable to our own lives because lots of times in life, we can get seriously off track. And you can start up here with God's ideal, right? He has this ideal and a vision for our lives. You can say that that's like the beautiful view that I was trying to find. But then there's the challenge of how do we actually get there? And I, in my story, of course, ignored all of the possible helps that were put in my way, whether it was my friend giving me great advice, even though I didn't think it was at the time, or whether it was the internal voice inside of me telling me that maybe I wasn't going the right direction. It finally took the ultimate authority of a police officer to get me headed back in the right direction. And I think that when we're off track in life, it can take similarly three things: our community, getting connected with our community, getting connected with ourselves, and getting reconnected with God in order to help us get back in the right direction. Now, I don't know how many of you were here last week, but Pastor Kurt talked about being pressed but not crushed, right? And there's a power in that freedom, but I want to empower us today to move forward in that mission. God has a great plan for our lives, but there are practical steps that we can take so that when life knocks us down, we know how to get up. And trust me, there are countless stories in Scripture that relay this message perfectly, but none of them, I think, are more powerful than a guy we talk about a lot here named David. Now, for those of you who haven't been around a lot or don't know who he is, I want to get us all back briefly on the same page. So David is one of the most famous of God's leaders in the Old Testament of the Israelites. He was a pretty powerful guy. I don't know if you guys remember what God said about him. Does anybody remember what God's name for him was or what he called him? He said he was a man after God's own heart, right? So I don't know, if you haven't been in church, that's a pretty powerful statement for God to say that about you. We can think of so many other people in Scripture, whether it's Adam or Eve or Moses or all the prophets that pop up here and there throughout the Old Testament. But we can think about those people, and those were also spiritual giants, but none of those people were called women or men after God's own heart. God had a huge plan for David's life. I mean, out of 8 brothers, he was chosen to be the next king of Israel, and he was the youngest. But David wasn't always headed in the right direction with his relationship or even following the plans that God had for him, even though they were amazing. One of the more dramatic, of course, and well-known of his failures is when David chooses to sleep with another man's wife, gets her pregnant, has her husband killed, and then marries her and acts like nothing ever happened. This is a story that I think can teach us a lot about how when we get off track in life, we can get headed back in the right direction, and there's still hope for us. So there are 3 important factors that helped him that I think can help us today. And the first of those is that David chose, in good times and in bad, to surround himself with people who are going to point him back in the right direction. Essentially, he had a positive community that had surrounded him that could give him great advice. We're going to jump in this story really quickly to 2 Samuel 12. And here we see that one of David's advisors ends up giving him godly wisdom that helps steer his life back on track. So we're going to go ahead and jump into the story now. Okay. And we'll read it off here. So the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to tell David a story. There were 2 men in a certain town. One was rich, and the other was poor. The rich man owned a great many sheep and cattle, and the poor man owned nothing but 1 little lamb that he had bought. He raised that lamb and grew it up with his children. It ate from the man's own plate, drank from his cup, and he cuddled it in his arms like a baby daughter. One day, a guest arrived at the home of the rich man, but instead of killing an animal from his own flocks or herds, he took the poor man's lamb, killed it, and prepared it for his guests. David, rightly so, was furious. As surely as the Lord lives, he vowed, any man who would do such a thing deserves to die. Now, I don't know if you guys see what's going on here, but he must repay poor 4 lambs for the one that he stole and having no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are that man. That's convicting right there. Then David confesses to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, yes, but the Lord has forgiven you and you will not die for this. It's amazing how influential one wise person can be in the course of our lives. And I think that Nathan here, the prophet that gives David this message, can show us some really important and crucial things about what it means to move forward after we've had problems. So first of all, Nathan here talks to us and teaches us what being a positive community looks like. So the words that he was able to speak into David's life, he showed a selfless commitment to seeing David thrive. If you think about it, Nathan here was taking a serious risk, right? I mean, after all, David had already killed one person and could have easily covered it up and no one would have known. He could have killed Nathan as well. But instead, Nathan knew that the plans that God had for David were so great And he was committed to helping him stay on track with that. And I think that can be a powerful message for how we interact with each other. We want to be that positive community that is so selfless that we're willing to tell people the hard truths about their life. And if you don't have that kind of community in your life, that's what we want to be seeking for too. Another thing that Nathan was able to do here was that he was able to help David see his actions objectively, right? He creates this super inventive story of how David had this sin, but he allowed him to see it objectively. And much more than just going up to him and telling him he was doing something wrong, because how many of us actually listen to that when someone just tells us that what we're doing is wrong? He invited him to see his actions in a new light and get back on track. These are the people in your lives who are going to be willing to ask you tough questions and who are going to be there whether you want them to be there or not. Now, another really crucial piece of this isn't just that Nathan stopped there. He was willing to continue in his relationship and tell David that he was also forgiven by God. So a positive community isn't just going to let us sit there and suffer by ourselves. They're going to remind us that God has plans for us that go so much farther than we could ever ask or imagine. I understand, though, that being connected with people is sometimes difficult, right? I mean, we're not all perfect. A lot of us have been surrounded by toxic communities our entire life. We've had family and friends that have hurt us deeply. And so sometimes it's just easier to shut off from all relationships. But it's so important and crucial in our own lives to, in order to move forward in the plans that God has for us, that we surround ourselves with other people. And I've been here for a little over a year now at church. And one of the most amazing ways that I've seen to do this is our small groups on Wednesday night. Now, I know that Pastor Kurt said that I'm a small group leader, so this isn't just a 50-second infomercial on why you should come to small group. But the important part is that this is a place where you can find a community that's intentionally headed in the same direction with God. And if you haven't found that anywhere else in your life, why not come find it with us? So that's just a little plug for small groups, but also it's a great way to connect to community. So that's the first thing. Connecting to community is so important. The next factor that we're going to talk through today is that it takes more than just another person, though, to get us back on track with what God has for us in life. There's a second crucial piece. Oftentimes we get off track and do something wrong, and then we feel this massive weight of shame and guilt on us. And the solution to that, the only way to get out of those feelings, is by realizing and understanding to connect with what is true about ourselves, and so we can heal and move forward in life. And there are lots of things that could be said about what God says is true about us from his word. But during this whole process, when David makes this horrible mistake, we actually get a window into what he's thinking, what he's feeling, because he writes a psalm about it. And that really, I think, will help us understand some key pieces of who we are that are going to help us get back on track. So he writes in Psalm 51, "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sin. Wash me clean from my guilt, purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion and it haunts me day and night. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you." Now that's some pretty powerful stuff that David is wrestling with inside of himself and asking God for. And there are crucial things that I think we need to understand and internalize for ourselves in order for us to move forward in our own relationships in life. First is that David reminds us here that we do not have to carry the weight of our poor decisions anymore. Remember, the verse said that he was haunted by what he had done. But David can ask God to remove his sin and stop reminding him of it because he knows that God is compassionate. Now, I looked a little bit into this word because I think it's important for us to know exactly what that means, because I think it's a word we just throw around out there. But to be compassionate means that God shares and understands our feelings. He knows that what we've done haunts us. And he wants to remind us that we can be free from that and that we can move forward in our lives. Just like if there was something that you wrote down on a piece of paper and you scribbled it out so that nobody could ever read it again, that's exactly what God wants to do with our sin. He wants to remove it from our memory so that we can move forward in the great plans that he has for us. I think another crucial piece here about who we are as people, David asks at the end, he asks God for a very particular type of joy, the joy of your salvation. And this is a little bit wordy and kind of a weird way to say this, but what David is trying to get at here is that he knows that the truth about who he is someone that's willing for God to save. That no matter what he's stuck in, God is going to reach down and pull him up and walk with him through the rest of the struggles that he has in life. A couple years ago, actually a little more than a couple years ago now, my grandma passed away of terminal cancer, and she was pretty young. She was only 62. But I remember as she gathered us all around her to tell us the diagnosis that she had received, that she had this amazing peace about her. And when one of my uncles asked her what she was feeling or what she was processing through this moment, I distinctly remember her saying that she was happy because she knew that God had saved her and she was going to be with him forever. Now, how many of us would like that reassurance in our own lives rather than just at the end of life? And that's what that means. The joy of our salvation means that no matter what, that we are someone that the all-powerful God of the universe wanted to save. And the only response to that is joy. When we internalize that and understand that who we are is someone that's worth saving, we can have joy. The last part is that David here is pleading with God to give him a willing heart. And I don't know how many of you have gone through difficult situations in life, but I know that when I do something wrong over and over and over again, I begin to believe a truth about myself that no matter what I do, I can't do what's right. Or I don't know how many of you have believed the lie that no matter what you do, you're never going to reach your full potential. Whatever the case is, David here wants to remind us that that's not true. And that the truth about who we are is that we, our hearts are capable of being transformed into ones that are willing to follow God. And all we have to do is ask. Please, please, please do not underestimate the power of connecting with yourself and taking the time to internalize that you are free from a past that haunts you, that joy can be a part of the fabric of who you are, and that your heart can be transformed. Each of these truths about who we are will bring us one step closer to living our lives back on track with God. And that brings me to the final and possibly the most crucial point of connection in our lives, which is our connectedness with God. When we get off track, and when David got off track in life, one of the greatest contributing factors to the wrong that he was doing was because he excluded God from his decision-making process. And I'm sure he had a ton of great excuses. I mean, he was a king, so he probably had lots of people coming to him with problems. He probably had lots of staff to manage. Maybe he was just lazy one day. But whatever the case is, David here did not prioritize God, got sidetracked, and had to deal with some serious consequences. And one of the important lessons to learn from his story, however, is that even in that situation, when David was called out by Nathan, like we read in the beginning, his response was to fall back on God. But consequences still followed, right? How many of us know that our poor decisions often affect more than just ourselves, right? And in 2 Samuel, David learns that the child that this woman had because of their union was deathly ill. So we're going to jump back in the story in 2 Samuel 12. So David begged God to spare the child's life. He went without food and lay all night on the bare ground. The elders of his household pleaded with him to get up and eat with them. but he refused. Then on the seventh day, the child died. David's advisors were afraid to tell him. He wouldn't listen to reason while the child was ill. What drastic thing will he do once he learns the child is dead? When David saw them whispering, he realized what had happened. "Is the child dead?" he asked. "Yes," they replied, "he is dead." Then David got up from the ground, washed himself, put on lotions, and changed his clothes. He went to the tabernacle, which is like their church, and whispered and worshiped the Lord. After that, he returned to the palace and was served food and ate. I think David's response here is absolutely amazing. When tragedy strikes his life that was brought on by his own poor decisions, he responds by praying, by fasting, and by worshiping God. In essence here, he realizes that what got him off track was that he had separated himself from God. And so in order to get back on track in life, what does he do but run to God? He spends time with him, and he reaches out to God and gets his life back on track. And this is certainly true in our own lives. I know that in my own life, when I have stopped focusing on God, that's when it's easiest for me to start being headed in the right direction. And I get it. It's hard. I struggle with this too. I know lots of us are single parents or work two jobs, or you have a crazy school schedule, or some of us do all three of those things. But the moment that we stop focusing on God is the moment that our whole life, the rest of our life, is going to fall apart. It's not worth taking the time to remove ourselves from him, because we're never going to get back to the place that he wants for us, which is good. It's important when we're thinking about building a relationship with God, though, obviously. Who is this person that we're trying to be in relationship with? And some of the amazing things that God says about himself are that he's our Father, that he wants to protect us, that he loves us deeply, and that he has plans for us that are beyond our wildest imagination. And working with a relationship with God can still be difficult, because if we think about him, he is not necessarily a physical being that's in front of us that we can build a relationship with. But there are practical ways that we can move forward in spending time with him. And I can't underestimate the importance of this. So an example might be if, now, and I'm not knocking Coach Belichick because he's great, but if there was a coach, because Jen would fire me if I did start saying bad things, but if there was a coach who could guarantee, and some of you would be really excited about this, that the New England Patriots could win every single game they ever played, wouldn't you hope that no matter what was in their schedule, that they would consult that coach, that they would spend time with him, and that they would actually work with on what he had told them? But it's our same thing as our relationship with God. We have a person who we can have access to, who has the best possible playbook, if I can call it that, for our best possible life, and yet we don't take time to consult him. But that's the kind of relationship that God wants with us. And some practical ways that we can actually move forward in that relationship with him is like David did. He responded by praying. Prayer is not just you throwing up requests to God like he's a magic genie that's going to grant you all your requests. Prayer is a conversation that gets our hearts in line with what God is doing in the world. Another one that David used here is worship, right? How many of us love singing songs at the beginning of our time here together? Because that helps our hearts focus and understand the truth of who God is, which is extremely important. David also used fasting. And fasting can either be from food, or at the beginning of the year, we did a social media fast for those of you who are here. Anything in your life that is taking up a ton of time, fasting is all about removing that so that you can create more space in your life to spend that time connecting with God, which is really important. A couple other ones can be silence, creating silence in your life. And those four or five things are really important in helping us move forward. And those are going to create a connectedness to God. And just like if you had a rope attached to the end of the car that you were holding on to, I don't think you're going to go in a different direction than that car is going, right? And our relationship is the same way with God. When we are connected strongly to him, there's no way that we're going in a different direction than the way he's taking us. But I want to remind us today that this does not mean that we're going to be free of problems in our life, right? God never, ever promises us that. What he does promise us, though, is that despite anything that's going on in our lives, that he is going to be there for us to lean on. And if we throw ourselves into a relationship with him, connect ourselves to him, that he is going to help us move forward in the amazing plans that he has for us. And he's going to give us wisdom to be able to walk through those things. I want to go ahead and invite the band back up here now. And I want to talk to those of us who really feel stuck in life or feel completely off track. Or maybe something today made you think about a situation in life that you've gotten off track with. Instead of just sitting there stuck or feeling like you're drowning, I want to instead invite you to try connecting first to God. Are you taking time just to be with him? Have you ever even asked him what his plans for your life are? I promise you, he has something for each and every one of us. He can move us in the right direction. I also want to encourage you to take a look at yourself. What do you believe about yourself? Do you think your situation defines you? Or do you know that you are loved, that you can be transformed, and that despite hardship in life, that you can have joy? Finally, I want to invite you to connect with a positive community. Even though it's scary to invite others in, none of us were ever meant to be alone. And I want you all to think about those three things right now. And as the band plays, and as we close out that last song, whatever one of these areas that you feel like you're lacking in, whether it's knowing truth about yourself and who God says you are, or whether it's not being connected to people who know God and are headed in the right direction, or whether it's that you need to be connected to God more yourself, I invite you to come up here and pray, and just like David, ask God for those things, because he wants to give them to you. So as the band plays, please go ahead and start coming up.
Father, thank you that no matter how far off track that we get, no matter how far away from you we've wandered or been, no matter how many signs we've missed, you're always calling us back to yourself. You're allowing us to be connected with you. Today, Father, I ask that you will assist us in being committed to community and getting people into our life that will always be pointing us back to you, challenging us, encouraging us. Help us to see that we don't have to carry everything on our own. That you are there. God, would you help us to never forget that unless we are connected to you, that we have no chance. And that we can put aside everything else and focus on you. That we can find ourselves connected to you in new ways. Or perhaps there's times when we've been extremely connected to you and yet we found ourselves drifting. We hear your voice today calling us back to yourself. We find ourselves coming home to you, being embraced by you. Thank you, God, for always welcoming us home. never casting us out. So today, we thank you for all of these reminders and ask that you will help us to put them into practice each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, everybody. And why don't we say thank you to Heather? She did a great job today. Thank you, Heather. Thank you, Heather.